Okay, great. So I thought what we'd do first is just talk about the class and the agenda, and then we'll dive into the prerequisites. So again, if you've got the documentation in front of you for what the prerequisites are, that's going to be helpful in a few minutes. So first, let's talk about the class. So the Reiki Master class is really for those who feel that Reiki mastership is a calling for them. They feel like Reiki is kind of pushing in them in this direction. They feel like they want to open up their own practice. They want to teach and share Reiki on a broader scale beyond friends and family. This isn't a step that should be taken lightly, as I mentioned in my Reiki 2 classes. It's a really big step that requires a lot of thought, a lot of responsibility on the part of the student. And you have to be prepared. You have to have gone through some of your own healing journeys. You have to be self-aware, and you have to be open and coming from a place of love and understanding, and wanting to help and being of service to others on a greater scale. So the class itself is a 3-day intensive class. It's not like the Reiki 1 and 2 classes that I teach. It's a very fast-paced, kind of rapid fire. I'm going to give you as much stuff as I can in those 3 days, and it goes by very, very fast. The first day we talk about advanced techniques. We get the master symbol. We learn about, doing work with crystals, other kind of meditations that can help, and other, again, advanced techniques for situations that call for a little bit more heavy lifting. The second day we do an attunement kind of history lesson. Where do the attunements come from? How we've done them historically? How do we do them in the present? We spend a lot of time practicing with each other all throughout the class, but especially Friday and Saturday. And then Sunday's day is the, or Monday, the third day basically of the class is all about the nuts and bolts of it. So how do you teach? How do you run your own practice? Very, very detailed. I'll give you agendas. You can use my manuals if you want. We talk about all the things you need to open up your own spiritual practice. So things like insurance, things like marketing, things like an online calendar system, business license, stuff that's required by your county versus your city versus your state. And so it's very practical advice to get you basically up and running with very little help outside of the class. So you might need maybe a little bit more information from a small business association, but my goal is to give you everything and more that I learned that helped me get going. And so think of it like not like learning advanced Reiki techniques. It's also like learning how to create your own spiritual practice. And so if you come at it from that perspective, think about like taking other kind of classes where you do, learning a trade, becoming a professional in certain areas. They're really intensive courses. And so that's kind of what I want you to have your mindset on when you come to this class. It's not all, meditations. There's a lot of very down-to-earth stuff about, starting your practice that's going to be helpful for you. Okay. So then let's dive into the prerequisites. So unlike other teachers, everyone does a little bit different. What I found that's helpful for my students is to have a set of standard prerequisites before you get accepted into the mastership class. What I have is 20 hours of documented prerequisites that need to be completed before the class date. So if you have that open, let's go to those pages now, and we'll talk about them in larger detail. So the first page kind of talks about the nuts and bolts of what those 20 hours look like. And let me give you a little bit of history as to why 20 hours and what this actually means. when you can successfully, you know, find people and go through 20 hours and do the documentation, then you're ready. If you struggle with finding the amount of people, finding the time in your own schedule, you find maybe the paperwork cumbersome or something just, you know, it's a struggle for you to get those 20 hours, take that as a sign that maybe it's not the right timing for you. I've had a lot of students who, you know, struggle through the 20 hours and they're not ready, you know, and it's very clear when they come to class that they're not ready. So there's something about having 20 hours where you feel like you've had enough experience, you've seen and felt enough varied, you've had enough of, you know, variation in your sessions to be able to understand kind of the stuff that we talk about in the class. If you've only worked on, you know, a couple of people and friends and family, you're not going to have that breadth of knowledge that's kind of required at the mastership level. You know, save yourself some money, save yourself some time. If you can't do the 20 hours for whatever reason, take that as a sign that maybe you might not be ready. The 20 hours is really about you. It's about you testing yourself to see if this is the right time and if you're ready for it. What the 20 hours does is confirms to you that you're ready, and also for the rest of the students, it gives everyone like a level playing field. So we all know that we've got a baseline of experience that we're starting from so that we're not going over and repeating things from the Reiki 1 and 2 class. I want to spend the whole time focused on new stuff, new learnings, new insights. And so that's where the 20 hours specifically come from. How it gets broken down is kind of up to you. So I require that the 20 hours be broken down into at least 10 different people or situations or animals. I'll give you an example. If you want to do work with your dog, if you want to do work with a friend, if you want to send Reiki to heal something on a global issue, each of those would be considered, say, three distinct individuals or three distinct events, right? If you want to give one friend 10 hours of that 20 hours, you're still going to need to find nine people to fill up the rest of those 10 hours. So you need to have a minimum of 10 different people, animals, or events that you're doing Reiki on, and it needs to total up to 20 hours. So you can do 15-minute sessions if you want, 30-minute sessions if you want, 60-minute sessions if you want. I've seen some students do 90-minute sessions as well. Again, you can do as many different kind of increments in time as you see fit, and I actually would encourage you to kind of experiment and see what time feels right for you, 15 minutes for distance, or, you know, sometimes animals and kids, 15 minutes is enough, 30 minutes in some cases, 60 minutes in some cases. So I don't really care how you break it up, how long your sessions are, just as long as at the end of the day before class, it all totals up to a minimum of 20 hours. Now let's look at the specific documentation. So there's four different pieces of paper that we're talking about. The first one is the California Client Information Form and Waiver. This is not required by me. This is required by the state of California. In my documentation, there's a reference to the California bill. In order to get around having to need like a massage license in some cases or other kinds of training, you have your clients fill this out first and only one time. So like let's say you work on somebody 10 different times. They only have to fill it out one time, and it's good for 3 years. And what this form says, and we can jump to it, is basically this is what's required by the state of California. It says, you know, what the practice is that you're going to be doing. So you can have a little blurb. You can use mine. You can edit it. And so what is Reiki? So Reiki is a form of complementary healing which enhances the body's ability to heal itself. You can go deep. You can go narrow. You can go broad. It's up to you. What it's not is it's not a licensed physician. It's a complement to the healing arts. It's not a substitute. So this is something that the state really wants us to put in here, which is that this is a complementary alternative medicine. It's not licensed by the state, so no one's regulating us. And so that's something important to have your clients know. We're not regulated by the state. We're not licensed by the state or any other kind of governing body. and it's not a substitute for Western medicine. So the last thing you want to do is tell people to stop taking their medications or do any kind of diagnostic stuff. And so that's kind of where this form comes into place, to tell your clients that you're not a licensed physician, you're not allowed to diagnose. Mm-hmm. The next section is nature of services provided. So kind of let them know what to expect with Reiki. You know, it's a laying on of hands, you stay fully clothed. If you have them seated, you can say that. If you have them lying down, you can say that. Or you can say lying down or seated. So you kind of get a sense of what that looks like on my form. The theory of the treatment is also part of what's required. So basically the theory being that if energy is moving the way it's supposed to, the body can heal itself more naturally. So you can, again, see how I've worded it, and you can tweak it or use exactly what I have. Now, the spot that you're going to need to edit is your qualifications. So you can say, you know, you're a Reiki 2 practitioner and you were trained, you know, in 2015 or whatever it is. But basically your level of training and how many months and or years you've been practicing Reiki. And then you need to say, get their signature. And if they request a copy of this document, you need to be able to make a copy of it and send it, give it to them. And you need to keep it in your files for 3 years. Now, okay. A lot of people ask the question, do I need this form if I'm not charging any money? And the answer is yes. So I read through the California bill many, many times, and nowhere does it say only if you're charging money do you need to have them fill this out. So even if you're doing volunteer work, technically you're supposed to have, or even friends and family, honestly, you're supposed to have people fill this out. So for Reiki 1 and 2 practitioners, it's a little looser, because it's usually just friends and family, and so there's not a lot of liability or risk involved. But once you start working with strangers, you need to kind of have this document in place. And it's insurance for yourself, so God forbid something happened and they feel worse after a session, which actually is pretty common. They might think that you broke them or did something to make them worse. You can use this as saying, well, it's just laying on of hands, so there's nothing that I surgically did to you. I didn't insert anything or do anything that could have made you any worse, because you've got them signing this document up front. This form has nothing to do with what level of Reiki you're at. This form has nothing to do with Reiki even specifically. This form is for anyone who does any kind of alternative or complementary, quote-unquote, medicine or healing arts in the state of California technically needs to have this form filled out, even if it's friends and family. Once you start, you know, working with strangers and start collecting money, then you're going to be under a little bit more scrutiny. For the purposes of my prerequisites, if you're going to be having people, like your friends and family are part of the 20 hours, I do expect you to have them sign this. So whoever you're going to be practicing on for the prerequisites, every single person needs to have this signed for your submission into the class. And it's good practice for you to kind of use this form as a talking point to say, so you've read it. Do you have any questions about Reiki? Do you have any questions about my qualifications? Do you have any questions about what to expect? So think of it as a jumping off point with which you can describe Reiki in greater detail if they have any questions after they read it.
Would they still need to sign this form, the waiver?
No, technically, if there's no like physical interaction with somebody, they wouldn't have to fill this out, but I would still use the form as a talking point to make sure you're covering what Reiki means. Because when you're doing distance, you're still talking, you know, getting their permission, you're understanding what their goals are and answering any of their questions about Reiki ahead of time. So you can kind of use this as a template of how to just talk about it when you're going into the session. I mean, if you want to be, you know, cross your T's, dot your I's, you can always email this form and have them sign it and email it back to you for distance. That's actually probably the correct way to do it. But technically, if you look at the form, if it's not, I believe if you're not doing any hands-on, then you don't need the form. And that's a good point and a good question for the next two forms, which are the client intake and outtake form. So the client goal or intake form, this is optional for you as you start your practice, but for me, as I'm evaluating your hours, I really like to see this so I have a way of reading through your sessions and seeing firsthand what your client's goals are. And same thing, if they're distant, you can either fill it out for them after the fact, or, you know, while you're on the call with them, or if you're doing it via email or text, you can basically ask them what their goals are and you can fill it out for them. And then the scales are just basically to help you gauge where they're at ahead of time. So where are they at on a 1 to 7 scale for stress? You know, pain is usually physical pain, and confusion meaning like mental clarity. So if they're really debilitatingly confused, that means they really can't think straight, they can't make decisions, they've got cloudy judgment. It can also mean like they're confused about their life path or their purpose and their path and guidance in their life. And then the next page is the post session. So what I typically do is before I even like talk to them about how they felt, I ask them to fill this out so it's fresh in their heads and it's not tainted by me or a conversation in any way. So I have them fill this out right after the session. And again, how do they feel during the session? How do they feel now that the session's over? And then on that scale of 1 to 7, have there been any change or movement in pain, stress, or confusion? This is really about you. So these two forms help you get a sense of where they're at. It helps them really think clearly about their goals and kind of assess where they're at themselves. And it helps you to see if there's any movement before and after the session. Now, one of the questions I get a lot is, how do we fill this out if it's for a baby, for a kid, for a distant session, for an animal? Well, you can fill it out the best you can. Like, you will know ahead of time, you know, like what your goals are. Like, I want to help my baby stop crying from colic, or, you know, my dog is really nervous and I want him to be less anxious, or whatever. Obviously, you're not going to be able to fill out the scales, the 1 to 7 scales, and that's totally fine. You don't need to. But just having some rough idea of what the goal is, regardless if it's, you know, even an event or distance session, or someone who can't communicate or give you their, tell you exactly what's going on, you can kind of fill that out yourself. And same thing with the post session. You're obviously not going to be able to get feedback. If you notice any differences, like your dog slept during the session, or your baby stopped crying during the session, or everyone seems to be a lot more calmer after or during, you can make notes in that client post-session form. Again, if this is someone in person, right, they fill out these two pages themselves. But if they can't for whatever reason, like, again, their distant session, or it's an event, or it's a baby, or it's someone in a coma, whatever, or it's an animal, then you fill out those forms yourself. Like, for the prerequisites for the class, I'm not so concerned with those two pages as I am with this last one. So I'm really concerned about you getting them to fill out the disclosure form, so that first page of the California waiver. So I really want to see that. And I really want to see this last page, which is the Reiki practitioner treatment form. This is all you. So your clients don't fill this out. This is all you. This is your summary of notes. So you know, what's the date? Who's the person? What number of session is it? So if you're seeing someone for the first time, the second time, the third time, you kind of put that there. This is kind of where you restate their reason for the session. Oh, they've got back pain. Oh, they've got anxiety. Oh, they've got a headache. Whatever it is, put that in detail. If they've been to you before and this is like their second, third, or fourth session, then check in and see if they or you have noticed any difference since the last time they were there. Oh, their headaches went away for a while and then they came back. Or, oh, my stomach pain's gone, but now something else came up. Like, whatever it is, check in with them and see if there's been any major shifts since the last session. And then the treatment notes. So really, you fill out this whole form after the session, like after they leave, you kind of start filling this in. The treatment notes are every single thing that you did in great detail. What did you do during the Biosyn scan or the Aura scan? Did you do any cord cutting? Did you do extra symbols? Did you do the ice pick? Did you do, you know, like, everything that you can remember, put down in these notes? What did you feel? I felt heat and tingling in the right leg, or I felt cold in the left, or I got an impression of red, or like as much detail as you can, put it down in these treatment notes. that helped me understand where you're at. But also, if this client comes back to you and that last, you know, their session was really great, you want to see what kind of techniques you employ, what kind of steps you took to help them, you know, get to where they're at, right? So it's really important to kind of see that. Post-client interview is basically, again, you're writing this after the fact, but, you know, after their session, you're going to have a pretty lengthy conversation about what you both felt. What did you feel, and communicate that with them? What did they feel, and you communicate what that means? So, like, if they felt some tingling over the solar plexus chakra, what does that mean, and how did you explain that? If they saw a color, you saw a color, you know, what does that mean, and how did you explain it to them? Did you have any homework for them? Like, did you get a sense of what might help them after the session, like maybe trying to journal or trying to read a certain book or maybe trying a certain meditation to help them further heal on a, and keep themselves kind of cleared out on their own without having the need to come back for another Reiki session? So whatever comes up during the session, put as much detail as you can on this form. And typically when I fill this out for my clients, the whole page is full. So I'm not talking about, like, you know, worked on solar plexus and crown chakra. That's not enough. Like, I need to see, you know, what steps you took, you know, how you communicated that with your client. So this whole page should be pretty full at the end of the session. And you can use this, I know it's in a PDF form, but you can, you should be able to copy and paste it into Word, into a Word document or some other kind of online tool so that you can type it up versus writing it out. Writing it out's fine, but when it comes to going over this together for the prerequisites, it's hard to read some people's writing sometimes. And other thing with doing this online, not necessarily connected to the internet, but online meaning like a computer software, like Word, is that you can search it. So if you start like creating a folder on your desktop that's for client sessions and then maybe another folder for every client that you see, you know, you can very easily search based on certain things. Let's say you've got someone who has sexual trauma. So you can, and you know that you can't remember which client it was, and so you can do a search for, you know, sexual trauma or the sacral chakra and see which forms and which clients show up, and then you can review your notes and see, oh, I tried this, I tried that, and that seemed to work and that didn't. So it's a great way to kind of keep yourself organized, but also give yourself a tool to reference back to, because it's a lot harder to do that when you're physically looking at pieces of paper. It's a lot easier to have your computer search it for you. Let's talk about then what's next. So the class is the last weekend of August. So it's basically Labor Day weekend. So it's, I believe it's a Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, the 31st to the 2nd. What we need to do if you're interested in taking the class is basically register for the class within 2 weeks before the class so I can prepare, because I've got a lot of documents that I do myself manually that I need to prepare for in time for the class. So make sure you register no later than, like, let's say August 15th. And then right around that same time, you want to schedule a 2 to 3 hour session with me to go over your paperwork. If you're far away, we can do it over the phone. If you want to PDF the files over, or we can do it in my office in person, it's totally up to you. But my schedule fills up pretty fast. So you want to, you know, even if you're not done with all of your hours, you want to get on my schedule to go over those hours sooner versus later. And again, for folks that listen to this call after the fact, you can go to my website, click on, which is reiki-energyhealing.com, click on Learn, and under that you're going to see to the right the Reiki 3 class, Reiki Master, and you'll have links there that talk about all the prerequisites, including the 20 hours, and also reading my book, Why Are You Sick?, which is part of the prerequisites as well. You must be a Reiki 2 practitioner or higher and have been a Reiki 2 practitioner for a minimum of 6 months before registering for the class. So you've got the 20 hours, you've got to read Why Are You Sick?, and you have to be a Reiki 2 practitioner for a minimum of 6 months before you are allowed to come into the class. And I guess that's it. So if there's any further questions, feel free to email me at Francie@Reiki-EnergyHealing.com.